And our next speaker is Pamela Bennett.
This is going to be difficult standing behind here, not moving around as always. How many of you, before we start, how many of you do background checks for new Master Gardener volunteers? Raise your hands. Wow. Okay. Does anybody do rescreening of Master Gardener volunteers who are in the program? Okay. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk about the rescreening process. And back in 01, our Senate and our legislators said that everybody in the state who's working with vulnerable populations had to have a background check. So anybody coming into any kind of program, daycare, teachers, volunteers, all had to have background checks. Introducing that to our volunteers wasn't that big of a deal because they grandfathered in current volunteers, and employees were also in that process. They grandfathered everybody in. So new people coming into the program, that was their expectation. When they interviewed, we said you had to get a background check, so it was no big deal. Well, it was a big deal, but they still accepted it. Then, of course, Penn State came along. And unfortunately, our attorneys, or fortunately, either way, our attorneys went through all of our training policies. So they questioned 4-H programs, Master Gardener programs, any volunteer program for the university, including athletics. How do you train your employees to avoid what happened at Penn State? So we were introduced last year to our famous policy 1.50, and everybody kind of course says this with a groan because it is a challenging policy, but nonetheless we are working through that process. It requires all employees and volunteers to go through the rescreening every 4 years. Now initially it was just volunteers, but they said, wait, we cannot have our volunteers do this if we don't have our employees do this. So we are all required now to do the fingerprint background check rescreening every 4 years. In addition to that, we were also required to give our volunteers and ourselves take training on child abuse recognition and reporting. So they said, let's get this started. We'll give you 4 years to bring everybody up to speed. So that includes all university volunteers, Master Gardeners, 4-H, certified naturalists. Everybody had 4 years to get this policy implemented. Our job was to figure out how to do this, and this was a challenge. My program manager, Denise Johnson, and I kind of worked through this mentally. We laid everything out. We really talked a lot about this on how to get this implemented. In the 4-H database, they have a statewide database that is accessible to the administration. So basically, our program manager for 4-H, she could get into the database and see all volunteers. With the current database that we're using to track volunteer hours, the VMS system out of California, it's done by county, so there's county walls. We couldn't get into every single county program in just one big picture, so we're trying to work on that for next year. So that meant each county had a separate list of volunteers. So we use that database, but we've kind of worked a way around how to use that at the state level. We had to train coordinators on implementation, and that was a big piece of this. We had to make sure coordinators understood what we were doing, understood the whole process, understood the concept. And I will say, even through this process, our staff didn't always know what was happening. So just to try to get our coordinators to understand this was a challenge. We started last year in November, and the due date was March 31st, 2015. We had to have at least 1/4 of our volunteers trained and background checked. So to implement the program, we pulled all database names. So despite the fact that they're gathered and windowed off by county, we were able to pull a master database. So we had one Excel spreadsheet of about 1,000 names. We have about 4,000 volunteers in Ohio. So just to get people to understand that we are only going to do those years, 2014, 2010, we counted back every 4 years, and we told our coordinators only those volunteers that trained in those years would be screened. Well, that meant that we had to have the database up to date. So not every county had their volunteer start year. So they had to do that first. So we really backed up the process, and we said, okay, before we can pull the names, we've got to do this. So we gave them 2 weeks to go in, update their database, and make sure everybody had a start year. So that was a challenge in itself. This year we will do starting 2015 and go back every 4 years. So by the end of 4 years, everybody will have been screened. Our 4-H administration was responsible for receiving the background checks and going into the database and checking everything off. With 4-H, she could just get the name, go into the master database, check that person's name off of having been rescreened. Our system isn't set up like that, so she has a spreadsheet. She would get all of those names. She'd have a master spreadsheet. She would sort it, by county, which was another really important thing that the county was listed, and she would check off who had been rescreened and had gotten checked off or had gotten their background checks completed and were okay to volunteer. She would send that to Denise, who would then have to send that out to all the coordinators. So we put the onus on the coordinator now to go into their database and have a spreadsheet to check off that all these volunteers have been rescreened, with the idea of, as you get closer to March 31st, if they haven't been rescreened, they go back in and remind their own volunteers. And that was additional work for Denise and I to be able to get that completed. We also alerted county coordinators. We got everything trained. We let them know, do this first, do this, do this. Then we said a letter is going to go out to the Master Gardener volunteers directly. So one of the concepts with that, or one of the ideas with that, was that it would come from the university. It would come from administration. Coming from county coordinators, they may not take it as seriously, but coming from the state coordinator, administration, it would have a little more impact. So we sent a letter out to all Master Gardener volunteers. The mailing was paid for by the university, and each individual volunteers in those years would have gotten that letter. And that letter was something to deal with. It was a very lengthy letter because we had to explain everything. And it was probably too lengthy, but we didn't know what we could cut to really help volunteers understand this process. So it explained who had to do it. It said, you have to do it as well as our staff and employees because we want to protect our vulnerable audiences and populations. What you had to do, the purpose of doing it, and then your deadline. We started this in November of 2014. We gave them ample time to do it. If they did not complete it, they could no longer volunteer for the university. Now, in 4-H, they had to go through retraining if they did not complete it. Well, in Ohio, we have the inactive status where they had 3 years to go inactive. So if I don't want to volunteer, I have 3 years. I can kind of take a break, do my continuing ed hours, but come back after 3 years. So that was kind of a category of people. If they were inactive and came back, we've got to make sure we pick them up and pull them into the system. So those are some of the little glitches we had to deal with. So while since our training is 50 hours of training, we did not say you have to go back and start over with training. We just said you're inactive until you get that completed. The link to all the sites in Ohio. So every county, RBCI contracts with counties to do the fingerprints. It could be the education center. It could be the sheriff's department. It just depends on who is offering that service. And then how to do it. You do your fingerprint. You take an address. So county offices were not to take any fingerprint results. All those results, the reports, had to go directly to campus. That was a little bit of a challenge because some people were, you know, saying send them back to the county coordinator. So we printed on that letter, here is the address. So take the letter, take all the information with you, give that to the person doing the background check. They fill in where to send the results, and it goes directly to campus. And then we had a code, and I'll tell you a little bit about that code because that was kind of confusing for people. So we started it. We sent the letter out, and of course you can imagine the turmoil and the concerns people had, but we started the process. Some of the challenges we encountered was that the university, no surprise here, was not quite prepared to implement this process. So they told us back in February, we're going to do this. So we're preparing, Denise and I are preparing our coordinators, they're preparing their volunteers, it's coming down the pike, here's what we're going to do. It didn't happen until November. So that gap right there was really problematic because volunteers were like, I didn't get anything, can I still volunteer? It just caused a lot of issues. So we have learned, don't do anything until it's in writing and we know it's going to be put out there. We had to ensure the county coordinators were prepared. And I'm sure other states experience this. There are sometimes county coordinators or A&R educators who don't necessarily engage entirely with the Master Gardener program. They delegate to volunteers, and the volunteers aren't quite engaged as well. So you had those few counties that you kept sending stuff out, and then all of a sudden it happens. You've got to go back through and explain, look, we've got everything out there. You have to engage in this process. And then, as I mentioned, the code. So in Ohio, there's a code given. When you do a background check, you've got to give a code. And in this case, our code was Ohio Revised Code 5104.01. When you get your background check, your fingerprints, you've got to give the agency that code. Well, we didn't understand that code. And that code caused major confusion because the code says it has to do with child care workers and adoptive parents. So you can imagine volunteers, Master Gardener, it was total confusion. But we also then started working our way through the process, and my point is to understand why something is done for what reason. This code is such that If that code is on the background check and there is an extenuating circumstance or something happened, is that a disqualifying circumstance? And for instance, in our state, people come in and they had marijuana problems back in the 70s, and they got busted for smoking marijuana. Well, that does not preclude them or keep them from becoming a Master Gardener volunteer. But if it was something that had to do with child care issue or a child issue, child abuse, fraud, something like that, that might be a disqualifying event. In that case, if you have that code, they can open those records and go in and see that. The only other option was the code called Other. You can't open records, so therefore you couldn't get into that whole process and find out if they could actually volunteer. So that was a problem. Challenges, cost was around $35, and this presented a challenge to the county. How do we handle this? Some counties, the individual volunteers paid for it. Some county coordinators paid for it through the county. Some raised money to pay for their Master Gardener volunteers. They had to take photo proof to do this. We had a few resignations. I did a real quick survey just to get some input on how did this process happen or how did you feel about it. Less than one volunteer per county resigned. Some people were just like, I'm not going to do this. Took time. That survey, we spent as county coordinators about 1,000 hours, and between Denise and I, we spent probably around 450 hours. So the cost, the human resource cost, is not really known to administration in terms of how much it costs to implement. And the database structure. If they were formally in the database as John Smith, but their formal name on their driver's license was Richard Jonathan Smith, that caused issues, and we had people kind of floating out there that we didn't know who they belonged to. Recommendations, beta test it. Get your information out there to a volunteer, let them go through the process, see if it works. Communicate constantly. Bring county coordinators on board. If a county coordinator said, oh God, we gotta do this, and it stinks, the university's making us, that whole tone changes the volunteer's reception of it. Make sure your staff is available. We had Denise's phone number on there so they could call somebody personally. Even if they were getting their fingerprints at the county office, they could get that taken care of immediately. And then we had to do child abuse training, and that is basically, we didn't do child abuse training, we did recognizing child abuse. We flip on that all the time. Recognizing signs. So this is an online training that we try to do in each year. We're going to do this each year and make sure they know how to report it if they see it. Now, we're ready to implement this again in 2015, except this is just crazy as can be. Our state budget actually specifically says 4-H volunteers only have to be background checked one time. Specific language to 4-H. So our administration right now is in this process of what are we going to do? Are we going to not listen to the state budget, the state legislators? Are we just going to do it anyway? So they're really in a mess right now, and stay tuned for what we're going to do, because I can imagine Master Gardener volunteers are just going to go nuts if they hear that 4-H volunteers only have to be screened once and we have to go every 4 years. So it's a real interesting situation, but it came as a result of one individual in one county complaining to their legislator, going to the meetings and saying, hey, we can't do this to our 4-H volunteers. So they said, okay, we're going to put it in the state budget, and now it's law. So with that, stay tuned for next year to see how we finish handling this situation. Any questions?